Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
Get out of you, but down in Alabama, Mr. Chad and
voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze.
We are here once again with Sharon Steele and the Business Girlfriends Network. And, you know, Sharon has a show, Empowering Women. She's on Roku and different television programs. And we are here tonight hosting for her, yours truly, Dr. Ron Robinson, Reverend Ron, Mr. Electric, a.k.a. Sharon is hosting a television program. We're gonna try to use the technology to simulcast from the radio program to the television program, and we're going to work on that technology, getting that done so we can have them both simultaneously done, and we can have a fantastic show on tonight. We're looking for Brother Ishmael. Was going to tell us what it means to be a straw man, what it means to be a live man, what it means to be a free man. So we'll get that information from him today. In the news. Many things happening in the news. Tremendous amount of young brothers killing one another. Never seen anything like it in my life. Don't even know exactly where you can normally, you can see gang fights, you can see drug dealing, you can see, you know, gun selling, illegal activities in the communities that are impoverished. These communities can be upper middle class communities, working class communities, they can be rich class communities, but young brothers are constantly killing each other at all levels. Sometimes you can see a young brother that's not that educated, cannot communicate well, and have a ghetto mentality. And so he carries guns and knives, and he's willing to fight at the drop of a dime. The corruption in the society have corrupted our children, and we have to look at it from all perspectives. Dr. Winborn had a forum the other day, which he moderated, discussing black men and their emotions. Do black men express their emotions? Do black men feel their emotions? Do black men are devastated by their emotions? Are their emotions discombobulated all over the place? Are their emotions uncontrolled? Are their emotions causing them to be ignorant and angry? It is a tremendous question. And so as we look at the news reports, and we see young people as young as 11 and 12 carrying guns to school, willing to shoot someone. We had a young man in the Bronx that stabbed to death another student. They were no more than about 13, 14. And he felt he was being bullied for being gay. And he stabbed and killed this other young man. Two lives lost. The young man who killed the other young man who's going to spend 20-something years in jail, life lost. Jail is a cemetery. It is a losing battle jail. So his life is lost. The other young man has passed away and died. His life is gone. We're losing a whole generation of children to a genocidal society, and we do not say anything about it. Do you feel comfortable enough with your children being in an environment like this, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, nieces, your nephews, your adopted children, your children that you in your family, children that you adopt as family, children that you deal with on a regular basis. Are you comfortable with the society that they live in right now? And that's the tremendous question. Are we comfortable with those conditions that we're experiencing right now at this time? And I would say nobody is comfortable at this level of destruction in our society. It deems a lot to handle. It's a lot to deal with. You know, we have a lot going on in society today. We have to consider all things that are happening. And we have to consider the conditioning of society. And so let's listen to Attorney Robinson as he discussed slavery in America and the psychological depression and the emotional discourse and delusion of black people in America.
Oh, If you have ever owned a slave, please raise your hand. Slavery is not our fault. We didn't do it. We didn't cause it. It's not our responsibility, but it is our shared history. And when we try and turn it into something that it's not, when we try and make more light of it than it was, then we are denying who we really are, and we are impeding our ability to truly move forward as a community or as a nation.
In most cases in the South, that's the way it worked, because they were treated as family, and they knew what they had. They didn't know what they were being faced with if they left.
So your view is that enslaved people were treated as family?
That's basically the way it was down South.
So what I want to talk to you about is part of the ugliness of our history. I want all of us to understand just how we laid the groundwork to own other human beings as property.
And so I think what I'm looking at are shackles that were designed for an adult male and shackles that were designed for a child of maybe 3 or 4.
Yes, yes.
41 of the 56 people who signed the Declaration of Independence owned other human beings as property. When they were talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they saw that as being completely consistent with enslaving people.
Question. What kind of things happened here?
Lynchings or hangings took place here on this very spot.
Black folks here in Charleston refer to it as the lynching tree.
America has demonstrated its greatness time and time and time again, and America is one of the most racist countries on the face of the earth. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. It is not an either or.
There must be a revolution of values in our country, because some of the values that presently exist are certainly out of line with the idealistic structure that brought our nation into being.
I was 11 years old in 1968, and to my young eyes, we had been on a path toward racial justice that was amazing. There was the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and we were seemingly, to me, at a tipping point where we were either going to roll forward with this incredible momentum on racial justice, or we could roll back. And then April 4th happened, and King got shot in the neck, and it felt like the whole thing just rolled back.
And a man grabbed me by the arm and said, "We don't allow blacks in the gym." And I remember turning to y'all, and I said, "They've got a problem with the clock and with what's going on here. We all are out here. We're leaving."
I didn't know that.
I figured not.
Once again, America is having to look at issues of race dead in the eye, and once again, we are at a tipping point. And the reason I'm asking us to think about this is that literally, the future is at stake.
And Larry, he came out with his hands in the air and said, "Don't shoot." Put the shotgun in his stomach and pulled the trigger. It closed range.
And what I'm going to ask us to do tonight is to have a naked lunch moment with race in America. It's that moment when everyone has to take a look at what is really on the end of their fork.
If I may ask you a question, Jeff, perhaps if Dylann Roof was educated, if he understood that he may not have gone down this path, what are your thoughts?
This is not going to be easy, but I can promise you this. It will never get easier to have an honest discussion about race in America than it is right now. Because if we wait, it is only going to get harder.
The Larry that you heard referred to in that trailer was a young man named Larry Payne, who was 6 years older than I was, and he was killed in Memphis, Tennessee the week before King was assassinated, 1 week to the day. There was a march in support of striking sanitation workers, and that march broke into violence. Larry was confronted by a police officer who put a shotgun in his stomach and pulled the trigger. And his memory has been one of the things that's been forgotten about the garbage strike and the movement in Memphis. So I am Jeff Robinson, and I am a criminal defense lawyer from Seattle, Washington. And you could be asking, why are you here and why are you doing this? And that would be a completely legitimate question. And this is the way I'm going to answer it. In 2011,
we were just exploring Attorney Robinson's look into slavery research years and years and years, going back to West Virginia, Virginia, and interviewing people on slavery. And I brought this on because we were talking the other night on an international forum, black men all over the globe, Africa, the Caribbean, Europe, Asia, and different places, and we were Zooming, and Dr. Winborn moderated this discussion, and it was talking about black men and their emotions, and I think that the conditions of a person repudiates their emotions as well, and what is the condition of one's emotion, where do these emotions come from, how do people receive emotions, how do people react to emotions, how do people express their emotions. And so the question was, in terms of how do black men take care of their emotions, is it secretive, is it self-containing, do they express themselves, do they put the emotions out there, are they dealing with their emotions, are they coming in contact with their emotions, and are they seeking therapeutic resolve for their emotions? So that's very interesting, but I just wanted to play that historical information from Attorney Jeff Robinson and what he was doing in terms of making us understand how did we get from where we started to where we at now. And as he said, America expressing itself in its most deepest, elaborate way that is extremely one of the most, they consider themselves to be a very dynamic country, but at the same time, systemically racist. And what he's saying is you cannot have your cake and eat it too. So the question tonight is black man and his emotions. We're waiting for Brother Musael, who is going to tell us how we go from straw man to free man and what the concepts of that is and what that been doing for others and how that works out. But until he comes back, we're going to have an open discussion about black men and their emotions. And is it reactive to society? Is that construct in our behavior? A lot of young brothers today, even at the forum, talked about all over this, the Caribbean, all over Africa, Europe, and places like that, young black men, 14, 13, 15, are shooting and killing themselves at the drop of a dime. The anger is so extreme. This is what's happening in our society, and we're going to discuss this matter. I'm going to open up Mike 718-350. We know that's Ronald A. Robinson, who always have some good content for us.
Well, I'm entranced right now, but let me just say this. You know, the our emotions are based on our experience. You know, and as the forum the other night was so great and opening, we have to realize, rather than reacting out of ignorance, we have to understand why are we acting in such manner. You know, from the cradle to the grave, our emotions rule us because of circumstances, and some understood, some not understood. You know, and that's where the psychology or psychiatry comes in to help us understand where this comes from and how we can better deal with it to make better for ourselves and better for the world as well.
Great. Yeah, we appreciate that. It's definitely your emotional state has environmental factors involved in it. It's a part of your upbringing. It's a part of your family. And I see that you're on the local public service there and have like activity.
Yeah.
So you stay with us, and we're going to move you. Yeah, okay, sounds great. Okay. This is the brother we haven't heard from in a long time, Mr. Amir Otto Price. And it's so good to have you on.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Doctor.
Yes.
And I came on tonight on a very intriguing consciousness. With this being our masculine wherewithal, how do we deal with society's left-handed strength and white right-handed weaknesses? Where's our balance between the two of those?
Okay, your open up discussion on that matter.
That was my question. Not necessarily for an answer, but just for the fact that that's where we, as the dynamic of black men, are today in today's society, having to fight between the overwhelming emotions that's developing us every day, just to dealing with everyday issues, from how people look at us to how people deal with us to how people are inherently afraid of us without finding out who are we before we are judged in our current packaging of our everyday existence. And
right.
It's a very delicate balance that we have to fight with just within ourselves. And now you're asking me to deal with the emotional baggage that I have unpacked myself. That's a lot more to add to my daily adventure just around the street.
Right. One of the things I got from the forum the other Sunday was that, we seem to all be facing the same kind of conditioning. We all seem to be facing the same kind of problems. The psychosocialization of our people has brung us into a certain level of emotions as men have expressing themselves in many aggressiveness. They're being very anxiety, stress, but very aggressive. And, there's emotional breakdown. You know, you're losing your friends, you're losing your children. There's a lot of devastation in the community, bad policing, bad health care, bad food, bad environment. And these things takes on a complexity of stress and strain on one's physical and mental body. Emotions are very much attached to your biological system, and it can also give you high blood pressure, give you ulcers, give you all kinds of medical concerns as well, because it's so well connected to your internal biological system. It's a part of who you are as a being. So one of the things, as simplistic as it may sound, that I thought of as a first step remedy, brothers, learn how to love yourself. You know, because when you love yourself, no one can impede on your personality, on your character, on your being. And I think, you know, we need to learn to love ourselves. We need to come in full contact with who we are as a person. We need to understand that emotions don't have a color. They don't have an ethnicity. They don't have a language. They don't have a weight. They don't have prettiness or ugliness. Emotions are given unto the human being. And sometimes, my brothers, when you look at yourself as a total human being, because black was a concept that was created to create emotional state. White was a concept created to create an emotional state. So as we talk about black men and their emotions, that we continue to explore that because I think it's so deep. One thing I think is remedy is to love oneself. Because once you learn to love yourself, nobody can impede on your consciousness. And this is one of the discussions that I think is important for us to learn to be comfortable. You know, that's one thing they teach you when you want to do self-improvement is to be comfortable with who you are so that nobody can impede upon you and put stress upon you as well. While we're on the discussion of emotions and the gentleman, our Dr. James W. Winborn is here. He moderated the session, and I'm going to bring him in as well. The Neo Nation, the reparations program, the 1 million acts of kindness across America. He has helped develop that, and he's dealt with psychological, physiological, astronomical stuff, and he has a lot of knowledge in this area. And we're going to open up his mic as well. We're going to, as we walk him in to the conversation, Dr. James W. Winborn. We are doing fine. So you know what I thought about, give you a little opening presentation here. When we were talking about emotions at that forum, which you moderated, you moderated International Forum on Black Men and Their Emotions. One thing that came to my conclusion, which I didn't get a chance to say, love. You know, I was going to say to the brothers. Love yourself. Learn to be comfortable with who you are and learn to love who you are. And so that when you love yourself, then you can learn to love others. You know, God said something that was very interesting to me. He said, how can you love me? How can you say you love me? How can you tell me you love me? And you don't even see me, but you can't love your brother whom I created just like you. So God is saying there's an oxymoron there. You say you love me, but you can't love that which I created in my image. You can't love that which I put upon you, which look just like you. And so, you know, brothers got to learn to love themselves so we can learn to love each other. You dig where I'm coming from? There's a lot of internal hatred. The brother from St. Croix was saying what? He said, that's way over in St. Croix, y'all. But he said young brothers at a drop of a dime will pick up a knife and a gun and they will kill each other. You know, that's not loving that's not loving yourself. And because that brother's not your enemy. But we can say that over here in America. We can say in Europe. We can say in Africa. We can say in the Caribbean. The same kind of young brothers who have so much internal hatred. It's not so much they hate that brother. They hate themselves.
The issue is, we've been taught that. We've been taught to hate ourselves, and we've been taught by our oppressors that everything about us is bad. From the fact that everything about black in the vocabulary, in the language as we know it, is negative. You follow me? And so we learned to hate ourselves on top of everything else, so we're always willing to attack each other. But the issue with that is all of it stems from So here's the best way to do it. The scripture said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What he thinks about is what he becomes. And he began to create his experience based on what he believed things mean. You understand what I'm saying? So if you look
Correct.
At me a certain way, I can look at you, I can see you look at me, and I will perceive that that look means that you don't like me, you like me, you don't want to be bothered me, or you got something against me, or you know what I mean, or you think I'm nice, or I'm happy. You follow me? Now, that's what I believe that look means. The reality of it, it could mean none of those things.
Correct.
But based on that belief, we have the brain releases chemicals. And stop me if I go too far. But I like to talk about this because I always think that if we understand how things work, right, we understand the mechanics
Correct.
Of something, then we can control it. So if we understand that when we have a thought, our brain does something like goes to a file room and pull out other things that's called associative memory that associated to what it is we believe that we perceive, see, feel, hear at that time. And it releases chemicals based on those associative memories to make you have a feeling of whether it's good, bad for you or not. Now, what we can easily do is change what we believe things mean, right? And it will change the chemicals in the brain that's being released that cause you to have a different emotion. Will then cause you, or at least give you the ability to now to take control of how you're feeling. And so now I don't have to get mad if I don't want to. Because I
tell us what.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Tell us what happens when a person's emoting.
When a person is emoting, the hypothalamus gland in the brain is releasing something that's called peptides, and those peptides land on your cells. Okay, when those peptides land on your cells, they cause you to emote. It causes you to have a chemical reaction and a biological reaction, all right? Now, think about it. Is it 8 o'clock yet? Well, no, it's not 8 o'clock yet, but I'm going to say it anyway. Without being touched at all, a male, or and even a female, but let's say a male, for instance, because it's easier to visualize, can have an erection simply based on his thoughts. You understand?
Correct. Correct.
Without ever being touched. Now, based on something he sees or that he imagines in his mind.
Right.
And so the mind begin to release those feelings. The mind, the brain don't know whether it's real or not. It's having those feelings.
Wow.
Okay? So you understanding this, that you can now begin to create the day that you want to have. It won't happen overnight, but you can get into the practice of practicing little things. And you begin to come up and you can control your emotions if you want to. You understand? And you let it go when you want to.
Correct.
But you are in control of it. You will no longer have to say, well, she made me mad. No, I did. You made yourself mad.
Right.
By what you were thinking. Okay.
It's similar
because
to like
two people.
I just want to make this analogy. Sorry to hold your thought, because you know how I'm old, I forget quick. It's like when people say, you know, you ever remember the haunted house? Where people would pay money going to this haunted house, and they just walking through this darkness,
right.
And all these things
right.
jump up. They know that they know it's not real.
Right.
They had a desire to go in there, but I would.
Right.
And you can give me clarity on this. They when something jumps up, a ghost or something, they say, oh, you know, they get very scared. Is that considered emoting as well?
Right. So what they're looking for, they are creating an environment for them to have an emotional release and a release of endorphins. Okay. And being scared is an endorphin release, right? No. Mm-hmm. Now, not the scared part, okay, but the survival of it. You follow what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we can go to scary movies. We can sit there and be scared. We can go to the haunted house. Why? Because we know at the end of the day we're going to survive it. So then that's what's going to be enjoyable, and that's what's going to give you the release of the endorphins. All the other things are just thrills. You understand what I'm saying? And you having those vicarious experience. That's why some people on the weekend, they got to go climb up to the highest mountain that they can find and then jump off of it. Why?
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to have an experience. Well, they're scared to death when they do it. You see that they're nervous. Why are they going to do it? They're going to do it because of the adrenaline. Why? Because they're going to survive. It's the redemption process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So let me ask you a question. Go back to the haunted house thing again. When that
mm-hmm.
fear comes up, and a lot of times people know, oh, you know, that's not really a ghost, you know, but there's a fear because it's reactionary because you didn't expect it to jump up. Now,
right. As
I realize, you know how people run away and stuff like that, and then they realize, you know, I'm in a haunted house. I paid money to come in here. And they get a relief factor. They get a release in their heart. They get like, oh, man, you know. But it was a good feeling to be scared for that moment. When they get that release, is that emoting too? Is that another level of emoting?
Well, it's a part of it. It's the end part of it. It's the end of that journey. You follow me? You know, that's that exhale. Okay, I had the experience. It's over now. What's next?
Mm-hmm.
And also, that exhaling and having that experience is also how addictions are formed.
Wow. Wow.
Okay? Because once you've had that experience, you've enjoyed it so much, you go back seeking to have that experience again.
Mm.
You keep trying. What are you doing? You're trying to have that endorphin release. What is that? Because you're getting high.
Wow.
There's dopamine. There's dopamine. That's why they call it dope.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
So these are the things that are happening. So when it comes to the male and we understand the emotions, why do we have the experiences that we have? Okay? Why do we have that? We have the experience that we have because when the oppressor, let's say we're in the car and the oppressor pulls up to us, he, for whatever reason, because he himself, and it seems like they've gotten some type of permission and they're operating in this qualified immunity, he comes to the car, he's automatically in an oppressive dictatorship mentality. He is giving demands, okay, without giving explanation. That is total disrespect to the other person. The other person is saying, what did I do? What did I do? Get out the car. What did I do? Get out the car. Why you pull me over? Get out the car. You are intentionally escalating by trying to demasculate the individual, the male that's in the car, in absurdist authority. Why? Because you automatically thinking this is not good. He is trying to belittle me. So now, somehow or another, what you need to do or what you – it all depends on where you at. And when I say where you at, I mean, where are you vibrating at? Okay? And I don't want to go too deep into vibratory frequencies and energy levels, but it's where you at on what you think about that exchange. Can you think about it, that exchange in a way that will not cause you to emote, that make you want to attack? You follow me? Your only thoughts will be those thoughts, those natural first probably endorphin releases of natural, the release of flight, fight or flight.
Right.
Okay?
Right. I mean, a lot of people, you know, we've been taught, you know, to de-escalate it. As they wrote these books on, you know, give this handbook to your little 9-year-old son so he can learn how to behave around police officers. Well, a lot of times, nine point nine percent in the quarter, it doesn't work. But de-escalate the situation. As a black man, we have been taught maybe you shouldn't ask so many questions. Maybe you should be more congenial. Maybe you should be more receptive. Maybe you need to demasculization your response. What do you say to that?
What I say is that whatever your thought process is, we're in survival mode, okay? We're in survival mode. So basically everything we do today, we spend every day doing what we did yesterday so that we could be here tomorrow. Does that make sense? We spend
Correct.
Every day doing what we did yesterday so that we could be here tomorrow. So the first law...
You might want to break it down so people can get to understand it.
Everything that we do is about surviving, and every decision is based off pain and pleasure. Okay, what's going to bring pain and what's going to bring pleasure? And then you make those decisions in your process of survival. So when you confront it, I have always tried to talk my way out of a situation. I've always tried to remain respectful. Now, I have to honestly say I have never had a real serious altercation with the police. Why? Because I hate to say it, I don't know. I communicate well. How about that? Is that okay? and I'm kind of thinking what they're thinking and thinking like they're thinking.
Right.
You follow me?
Right.
I also know that no matter what I know about the law, they don't.
Correct.
Okay. And right now is not the time for me to give him a lesson in the law.
Correct.
If I give him a couple of pieces of the law and he's accepting, move on, it's fine. If he persists, then I will go along with his persistence. Why? Because he's armed and he's a threat.
Correct. Correct. I had an experience like Eric Adams. I was beat up by cops at the age of 16 in Harlem. And, you know, I was walking down the street, and I don't know if it was some other kids, a gang or whatever it was, but somehow they stopped me, didn't ask me my name, my ID, nothing. They just started grabbing me. And I'm like, you know, what's up with, you know, what's going on? You know, I was coming from my girlfriend's house. I was happy. You know what I'm saying? I was in a joyful mood. So I didn't want nobody to impede on that. Just like you say, that emoting was happiness, you know, just left my girlfriend, whatever. And they came with this harassing me. And it just took, it went from happiness to an extreme angriness, you know what I'm saying? Because like, you know, what the hell, you know, like, you know, I just wanted to go home. I wanted to be happy. I just wanted to remember that good emotions that I had with my girlfriend, that experience, just being around, you know what I'm saying? We had a good time with the movies and all this kind of thing. And now here I am. And like you said, it was so devastating to me because I wanted to hold on to that good feeling. Now here come these people and they're taking that away from me. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right.
That was like very, very devastating to me on all levels, on all levels, you know. And,
right.
And like
right.
Eric Adams says that, you know, I guess he wanted to, according to him, he wanted to go inside the police department and try to do what he can do. You know, I guess he had the emotions that I had, but at some point he came to the conclusion maybe he can go in and do some changes. But
right.
it just really made me very angry. It made me, you know,
right.
I was in, you know, Black Panthers and things, different things of that sort, a lot of black movement, with not so much angriness, but with a skillful mind to want to go in and just change the society. And I never was that
right.
person that felt that I can become a politician or become a president or become a police officer or a fireman, and then I'm going to change the situation. I always looked at it, you know, from my perspective, and I don't want to be off the subject matter because you're doing a good job of making us understand these things, but I always wanted to do it without. You know, I always felt that I could be more effective not being a part of the system. So just on this, you know, having that experience just made me more clear of my goals, you know, to fight the system from without, not within. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean that's good. I mean, listen, we all, for lack of a better way to explain it, we're all on a journey, right? And so we all create our reality. What we are experiencing is we created it. You and I are in each other's dreams because that's how we created it. We're thinking along the same frequency, and eventually the two came together. Now, I don't want to sound crazy, but this is how things work here on Earth, unless I say the third dimension. So when we understand these things, we can kind of begin to create our reality. It's like you have your control sticks, but in this game, the other guy got control sticks also. You know what I mean? So, but all these things are, you know, all these things are controllable based on, again, what we think. As a man think of it, as heart, so is he. What we focus on is what we become. That's why we have affirmations. That's why we say things over and over and over and over and over and over. Okay? When we say things, again, all right? We were talking about emotions, and there's so many different ways that we can go with this because everything is based on what is coming out of our control room, which is our thought processes. Our thoughts control our reality. And we've been doing it the whole time and never realized it. You understand? Somebody is sitting in jail now. Why is he sitting in jail? Because he had a thought. And then that thought manifested, he acted on that thought, and this is the result of the thought. But he had the thought first. You follow what I'm saying? So
correct.
It came before the manifestation. So where did that come from? That come out of the brain, okay? Well, the brain is the tool, but it came out of the mind.
Right.
Okay? Which causes the brain to release the chemical reaction that from the hypothalamus gland called peptides that land on the cells. And within that cell is your deoxyribonucleic acid, your DNA. And your DNA has direct divinity in it. And so this is how all of these things work. They're all connected. When we understand that they're all connected all the way down, we go back to the scripture. We understand that God told us that we were co-creators. It takes on a whole nother meaning.
Right.
We are co-creators, and we've been creating and not realizing. And it's only my hope and my prayer that one day we can take and come into this full understanding and come together, especially as a people, and join that etheric power together and, like, really change stuff. Because it's hard to have and to be of a certain mindset, to be of a certain emotional level, especially as a black man, knowing that there's a target on your back, knowing that you're hunted, okay? Knowing that you dream of going to college and knowing you probably wind up in jail.
Wow. Interesting.
So
let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Not to kill your thought. Something I'm thinking about right now. Preconceived notions. Okay, when I walk into a situation, for instance, I'm down south. I have to run into a bathroom. I go into a store, and that's the only Confederate flags and guns or whatever around. And I say, I'm in the belly of the beast. I'm getting myself a mix of Confederates. Racist, and I have this preconceived notion about them. Is that healthy? Is that bad? Is that emoting? Is that not emoting? You know what I'm saying?
No, that's healthy. Okay, because that's your fear. That's warning you. It's nudging you to be aware. Now you have to control it. Because it can push you too far. You follow me? So I would say that fear says be conscious, understand where you are, and then govern yourself accordingly. I would also say think about what I was feeling right then, okay? What do I feel? What do I feel in my body right now, and where do I feel it? If I feel it around my chest, maybe I keep going. But if I'm feeling it around my navel and below my navel, I'm thinking maybe I need to get the hell out of here. You understand?
Wow. Why is that?
Because those are vibratory frequencies. When you understand what's in your body, we have energy centers. We have some teachings that explain it in the Hindu. It's the chakra system. In the Hebrew system, it's the Kabbalah. Okay, and it talks about the energy centers in the body, starting with your root chakra, sacral chakra, your solar plexus. And so each of them do different things. And so where you pick up the energy is where you at with it. You understand? If you ever notice when you're happy and you're excited, it's in your chest.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So
excited, I can hardly breathe. You know
right.
what I mean? I just feel bad. We're in the pit of my stomach. Where was that? That means that feeling came in the bottom of your stomach, in your sacral chakra. What is your sacral chakra? That's the water, and that's where things are moving around. And so you can feel it when it's negative energy because water is a conductor. Okay?
Mm.
And
your first
chakra is your root chakra is connected to the ground. That's the solid. And then you have the water, the sacral. Then you have the third one, which is the sun, your solar plexus. And then you have your heart.
Right. You know how people say, okay, in certain situations, you might say, well, listen, you know, damn, you know, you might say to you, you might be hanging out with a group and you say, you know what, I just don't like this place. I don't like this feeling. I'm not too happy with these people. I don't feel comfortable. And then people say to you, well, you know, you're always overreacting. You know what I'm saying? Is that also like a good... I'm not saying like overreact in a physical sense where you start doing stuff, but overreacting in a sense of, like you were saying, a protectiveness of oneself. So you know what? I'm not feeling comfortable in this situation. Something strange. You dig where I'm coming from?
Right.
And so you decided that this is not a comfortable environment.
Right. It's not a comfortable environment because you don't have a good feeling. So something about it, and I might not even be able to put my hand on it, but there's something about this environment that is not sitting well within my energy. You follow me? And so maybe I need to get out of this environment into one that is more comfortable. I don't know why. And sometimes you can meet people, you don't like them. You don't know why you don't like them? I don't like them. I'm not going to hold it against them, but I know it's 30 seconds. I feel the energy, and the energy is off. Okay? I'm not going to prejudge him. I just acknowledge the fact of the energy that I feel when I'm meeting this person.
Interesting. Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, that same person, and I've been in situations actually where somebody so-called reacted, but he was on time. You know,
I want to go back to this other point before I get it when you said overreacted. So again, as you're picking up stuff, all right, so I want to say this. We talk about the women, we say that they are emotional, right?
Right.
And we talk about, so we got a guy, let's say hypothetically, because I know that this don't happen with anybody that we know, right? He's got a guy, and his girl, his wife, whoever she is telling him that he's cheating, right? He's bugging out, he mad. Like, you out of your mind. Like, you always put that out there, right? Now, he know he cheating, right? But he also know there is no way she can know it.
Wow.
You understand?
Right.
He knows there's no way. There's no way in the world she can know it. Now, how does she know it? She's picking it up in her gut. She's picking up the vibrations.
Wow.
We try to discount that. But when you say you have a gut feeling, the gut feeling is weird. If you look at the gut looks like a bigger brain.
Right.
Think about it. Right?
Right.
And it is also sending and receiving vibratory frequencies and signals. And
and
connecting to associative memory, causing you to emote, or causing you to have a chemical release of peptides.
Wow. Interesting. I want you to hold that thought. We're on the other side of the hour right now. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come right back. This is exciting. This is more than what I expected. And I want everybody to hold on. I tell everybody in the studio.
More than what I expected. I called in to check in because, you know, I'm multitasking. I got two meetings. I got another meeting to prepare for a meeting I got at 10 o'clock. I said, well, let me call in right quick. I just wanted to congratulate Sharon on the billboard and stuff. Yes, definitely.
We're going to talk about that as well. I'm emoting on that.
So when we go into the commercial break, I'm going to make a couple quick calls of some people that's been calling me while I've been talking, and then I'll be right back.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh. Entertainment. Worldwide. Network. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I signed on a payment with NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your peace, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Bossolini.
Your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vid Percy Jones.
And Big Shell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for Ray's conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2 Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of The Winning Team. Contact 2 Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5176. 5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time, Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time, call into 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRonRobinson, RevRon11 at gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Yeah! Oh, entertainment. Entertainment. Worldwide. Word.
We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind.
On your mind.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
We on time.
We live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
And we're back. I want a little thing about Legal Shield. My daughter bought a lemon, well, got herself in a financial situation in terms of her financing was flipped. She was trying to get another car, and it was just a mess. She didn't, you know, they only call you when they need money and they need help. Nevertheless, put her onto Legal Shield, got the attorneys to work on it, and everything is working out because she hasn't called me back yet. So I know things might be going in the right direction. She have not called me. So Legal Shield is 24 hours, 7 days a week, 50 states, Puerto Rico, and Canada, where you have access to attorney law firms and the best in the nation, the best in whatever state, whatever country you're in. They deal with the best attorney law firms. So that's what, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity. I also want people to forget, go to Positive, P-O-S-I-T-I-V-E, Change, C-H-A-N-G-E, PC.com, positivechangepc.com, P-O-S-I-T-I-V-E, C-H-A-N-G-E-P-C.com. Shout out to Brother Ronald Pathia. He's been working 30-something years on solar energy, free energy, clear energy. It's coming to America. The black farmers was promised subsidies, set aside financial assistance. They're not getting it. Because when it came around the last time under Trump, he gave it only to the white farmers. And Biden also dissing the black farmers again. So we have to support our black farmers. We talk about organic food. We talk about having growing our own foods. The only way we're going to get this done, brothers and sisters, if we support the black farmers. So please go check that out. I don't want you all to forget the reparations program that Dr. James W. Wimborne put together, such an exciting way to keep the money in the community. To keep the money in the community, go to myprojectneo.org/RevRon, R-E-V-R-O-N. Join. If you go to the website without RevRon, when you're looking for your sponsor, just put RevRon, R-E-V-R-O-N. It's $8 up to $1 million, whatever your pocket can handle. Take a look at the different boxes. The more of us that get involved, the more faster we all can be thousandaires, millionaires, and then one day billionaires. So come check out this system, a reparations program, on the myprojectneo.org. My and Y Project, P-R-O-J-E-C-T, Neo, N-E-O, .org. Go there and check it out. Tremendous program, and I'm sure before the end of the program today, Dr. Wimborne probably will have something extra to say on it. And so we want you to check those things out. We want you to get involved, my sister, my brother. We want you to participate in those things, which help Mrs. Helene Owens have a Dutton consulting firm have jobs available. They're working on more campaigns, $20 an hour. Now, all the thing they ask you for, bring your physical body, bring your cell phone, and be ready to work. $20 an hour. Give her a call, 718-504-6861. 718-504-6861. Tell her You heard it on Sharon Steele's Girlfriends, the Business Girlfriends Network. You heard it from Rev Ron, and you will be hired immediately. So please, if you need a job, $20 an hour, plus they help you get a career going in the political sector, in the political arena. Different kind of jobs are available. Even if you decide to be a candidate one day for district leader or councilman or assemblyman, whatever you decide you want to be in, they can help you get your foot in the door if that's what you want to do for your career. So do not forget Helen Owens, 718-504-6861. Give her a call. Tell her you heard it on the Business Girlfriends Network, Sharon Steele Show, and you heard it by Rev Ron, and you would be hired immediately. It's a great opportunity to get a great career going in your life. So we're going back to the discussion of men, black men, and their emotions. We're going to open up Dr. James W. Wimborne's line, and we're going to continue the discussion.
Good. I forgot, you know, I done got old. I forgot where we left off at.
Yeah, we were talking about the emoting, and I was saying sometimes people say that a person, like a black person who's really, really in tune to environment and stuff like that, and they'll keep saying, you know what, I don't like this environment, I don't like where I'm at, and people will say to you, other black people say, oh, you're overreacting, you know, you're too emotional, you know, white people ain't that bad, you know what I'm saying? I get that a lot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is like, you know, two is relative, you know what I mean? So what is two? It all depends on what your actions are. What do you do based on your thoughts? What do it lead you to? You know what I mean? Do your thought process, does your emoting lead you to destructive behavior? Or does your emoting reinforce positive behavior? And whatever it's doing, whether it's, you know, leading you to destructive behavior or positive behavior, is based on what you are thinking, what you believe a situation means, what you believe a word means. You know, I tell people, even if we look at words, words don't have meaning. The only meaning a word has is what we give it. You know?
Correct.
And so
correct.
We create narratives based on these vibratory frequencies. But the vibratory frequencies, which is causing you those thoughts, okay, cause you to have a feeling, and then it causes you to react, or maybe that reaction is just speaking. And so when you're speaking, you're doing what? You're creating a vibratory frequency. Because that's what words are. They're vibratory frequencies. And those are the process of manifestation. Because it's vibration. And vibrations
right.
come together. It commingles. All right? and it manifests based on what we say. That's why they say that the tongue is a two-edged sword. Because that your tongue is responsible for creating vibratory frequencies that are coming out of what is your fifth energy center or your fifth chakra. All right? If we go back to the scripture when it talks about creation, all of creation is based off what? Vibratory frequencies. God said, let there be. God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. These are words that are being spoken. Those that's the conduit for manifestation here on the earth. We're here in the third the dimension. Okay, God said. Those are vibratory frequencies. John said in the beginning was what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us.
Wow.
That's the same process of the string theory that the physicists talk about. Of the DNA, of the light code configuration, light code particles, the string theories that fall, and those lights coagulate and come together and then create DNA.
Wow.
It's all done based on vibratory frequency and manifestation. When we understand these things, we will understand again, as I said earlier, what it means when the scripture says that we are co-creators with God. We have the ability to create, so we have the ability, and we do that based on what we think, and based on what we think, it comes from what our thoughts are, what we believe something means, and those chemicals that are released. Okay? And that's how manifestation happens.
Now, can you...
All right, go ahead.
Okay, go right ahead.
No. Can I what?
Can a person, individual person, because people say that one, you know, like people say, okay, control, when you were a kid, your mother said, control your anger, you know, control your madness,
right.
You know, control
right.
kid gets in the store and he wants a toy and parents say, no, I'm not buying it. Kid gets on the floor. He's you know, having what they call that thing again.
Temper tantrum,
right. He's doing that thing and his mother said, control yourself. Well, as you get older, the expectation is when you're 16, 15, 13, 14, 18, 21, that you can control your emotions. So by having the understanding of emoting and et cetera, can that help one control their feelings? You know, like, okay, somebody might do something to you, and it could exacerbate into a tremendous, you know, war, or you can say, you know what, let it go.
It don't mean anything. It mean absolutely nothing.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And so what happens when you do that is like you take the power. Lots of times you just take the air out of things because you don't feed into it. If you don't feed into it, it becomes a no thing. All right, and then at times it will go away by you feeding into it by saying no. You're still creating that thing because we're still talking
right.
about it.
Wow.
So, you know, then when we understand, you know, as I said, as a man think of it as hard, so is he. We can go back and think about the laws of attraction, the laws of electromagnetism and gravity. And all of these are laws that work here on Earth, but they're still coincide and work along with our thought processes because our thoughts are running these things.
Right,
the
market, right.
The people that's selling you toothpaste and soap and cars, they know this. And
wow.
That's why they advertise the way that they advertise.
Right.
Because they're controlling your thought process. That's what it's about, controlling your thought process and what you're thinking.
Right. So we're talking about, for all the listeners that just came on, we're talking about men, black men, and their emotions. How do they handle them? Do they handle them? Can they handle them? Or do they overuse them? Can they be a little more controlling of the emotions? Are the emotions really destroying us? Or are we destroying emotions? And so Dr. Brinborn's given us a lot of understanding of emoting, one reactionary response to certain things. And so I'm going to open up the mics, and I'm going to give everybody a chance to engage with Dr. Wimborne and the subject matter and see if we can have a good discussion here. So all mics will be open, and you can contribute to the conversation as well. All mics are open. Okay, 904-994, your mic is open. Okay, 718-350, Ronald A., your mic is open.
Good, thanks, Dr. Wimborne. Thank you for all of that. You know, and to give a dimensional, after the class that are teaching the other night, the dimensional healing or dimensional understanding, this would be a whole course, you know.
Well,
just
to interject, we're doing a part two from the other night.
Oh, okay. Right.
And,
but the other thing
I'm
is
teaching.
You're teaching. Great.
Yeah, I'm teaching.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure I don't listen. But listen.
Did you hear that, Dr. Wimborne?
Wait,
what happened?
Ron
said I will not be listening. You had to catch it when you caught it.
Yeah, okay. You had to catch it in a moment.
Okay.
But the thing is also what we have lost, you know, is the earthly, I had another word for it, connection. You know, we've been walking on artificial, breathing in and walking on artificial substances that that hurt or deprive us of that natural of the earth that helps us go through this healing and this understanding. And I go out in my backyard, you know, every day, and I got my back with it cemented, but I stand on the grass for, you know, 45 minutes or so for my iron and get nutrients, because when it's that connected on the concrete, we ain't connected enough, you know, and that's why we're sick also, you know. Dealing with Tai Chi and Kung Fu and yoga and those other things that also helps our chakra.
Right.
You know, with 365 degrees. You know, when the Masons talk about, you know, 33rd degree, and then you go to the Shriners and they talk about 3 degrees, there's still 5 degrees that we haven't achieved. It all has to be with the earth. You know, with our intake, you know, which we all are guilty of, you know, and stuff. But
you know,
you get out into nature.
Right.
You know, even our prayers are better. You know, everything else becomes better with the understanding. It helps us understand and go through what we as black people and black men go through, you know, every day. I've been through a lot. Not as much as most, you know, stuff. But we have received the 360 degrees of God, the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that is in us. You know, we just have to be taught to bring that out of us. And if we're not in an environment to do that, or we haven't created an environment surround ourselves to do that, we're going to continue to be ill. And that ill brings on anger, frustration, you know, other bodily ills, you know, and so on and so forth. And if we're going to teach, we have to teach the 360 degrees, and because God gave us that. Just say, rest is mine.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so on. So it's important. You know, that's why us owning land is important. You know, owning our own to settle the frustrations, you know, and stuff like that. And separate ourselves unto the Lord, and give no understanding. Lean not on your own understanding.
And so that's what you do. So be not of this world, but be ye transformed. How are we transformed? How? By the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
So they giving you the hint right there.
Yes.
It's what you are thinking. It's,
and this is a religiosity. This is the earth.
Right. And that goes to another point that you made when you were talking about going out and walking on the grass and feeling the grass and getting off of the concrete when you're touching the earth, because what you're doing is, remember we said earlier about the root chakra, so now you got root to root.
Yeah.
So you got root to root, so you have energy to energy, and it brings us to the scripture that says that as above, so below.
So below, yeah.
You understand? So we're that we're all a part of that whole nine-dimensional access here.
Yeah.
Dealing with the laws of gravity, which is really the laws of gravity, okay?
Yes.
I call it gravity, but it's really the laws of gravity, because everything is being pulled back to the grave here, okay?
Yeah.
We call this falling.
And this is something. As we go forward with the DDO World Federation Project deal, these are some of the things that we should approach or invite, you know, people who have that physical understanding to help. I think it will be great.
Matter of fact,
for our youth, for our elders.
Yes. Matter of fact, if I may,
Brother Benjamin is on as well, and he deals with children in the school system. That's those schools where, you know, where the last chance school, you know, you get kicked out of all the schools and those last chance schools. And he deals with a lot of children that have, you know, stress and emotional disturbance and anger and all those things. And he has a special methodology to help bring those children, help bring them back to some kind of serenity. So, Brother Benjamin, are you there?
Yeah, still here, my brother. How you doing there?
Great, man, great. I want you to talk about some of the things that you do, and I've seen this. You know, I've seen you in the classrooms with the kids. I've participated in your program. Some of the things that you use to take some of these kids who people consider, you know, unruly, uncontrollable, just lost.
Right. Well, you know, it's really interesting because what we find a lot of our youth in a situation is the society that we're in today, you know. And the society that we're in today basically is creating an imagery of a negative projection of who we are and what we can be. And a lot of times that in itself is something that we have to reprogram our kids' minds so that they can come out of that gutter of seeing themselves in a negative ability of what they can do and what they are. And a lot of times what I even noticed was that there was a lot of kids that, you know, were just regular kids, had no problem. But then they were placed in the category of having mental problems and things like that that really wasn't true. But the bottom line is once you start seeing yourself in all this negativity, then what's going to end up happening, you're going to see yourself from a negative perspective. So one of the things that, you know, we were doing in the schools, and I saw it had a huge impact on them, we were doing a form of meditation in the school, and we were focusing for the kids to see themselves, you know, in the ability to improve their grades and let them know that they have the ability to do this. It's not something that, you know, they're incapable of doing, and even if they have a D or F average right now because of their grades, doesn't mean that they have to stay there. The other thing that we were dealing with, because unfortunately this was even more serious than just your grade, a lot of them were dealing with, unfortunately, gang wars. And in dealing with gang wars, the self-hatred that they have, you know, in dealing with one another was something that was really, you know, very detrimental, you know, and they just didn't have any respect, any love and caring for one another. They had no problem with saying, hey, I'm one of the biggest and baddest gangs in Harlem and in Brooklyn and Mount Vernon and New Rochelle or wherever. The bottom line is that they felt that that was more important. And if I had to take the life of, you know, several people to be able to brag and say all of this, then there's nothing wrong with that. But the bottom line is that, you know, we had to really try to go into the mentality of these kids and show them that our lives and our people do matter. We should respect one another. We should care for one another, want to help one another, not destroy one another. And that whole process of dealing with that, with the meditation, was very powerful, and it really did work. And the thing about it that really blew my mind, right, because we were just talking about trying to get them to be in a more positive mindset of seeing themselves from a positive perspective, right? But what happened, you know, and I almost fell out my chair on this one when I found this out, right? There was a situation where, you know, we were doing meditation and, you know, quite a few of the schools. And basically what happened, there was a sister that, you know, she had a out of control tongue. And when I say out of control, she loves cursing her, you know, fellow students out and, you know, sometimes even getting into physical fights with them and stuff. And even, you know, saying a lot of negative things to teachers and counselors and things like that. But the bottom line was they placed her into our program and told her that she really needed to deal with the meditation because maybe it would help her out because, you know, she was going to get kicked out. And she kept on, you know, having these fights and cursing everybody out and stuff. But anyway, I said, wow, you know, in seeing her and how she was, you know, dealing with things, I said, yeah, you know, this is a 4-month program. And hopefully after 4 months of dealing with it, maybe at the end of this program, she will actually, you know, get the understanding that she really can and will change her, you know, state of mind. But anyway, make a long story short, she was only in the program for 2 weeks. And she came back to me after class one day, and she said, Mr. Bridges, guess what? I said, yeah. I said, what's up? She said, I just can't even believe what happened. I said, what happened, sis? What are you talking about? She said, Jesus came to me in the meditation. I said, what? Jesus came to me in the meditation. He said, if we actually focus on these gang wars and the kids in the gang wars, these knuckleheads that are dealing with this, if we actually see the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ that is going to enter into their mind and enter into their heart, the divine love of God in Christ will cleanse all that self-hatred and anger and the desire to kill and destroy one another, will cleanse it away. And I said, what? I couldn't even believe it was coming out of her mouth. And I said, wow. I said, that's what Jesus told you? She said, yes, he told me that. He told me to come back and tell you. And be honest with you, I'm not even going to lie. I never even thought that anything like that would be able to have any kind of huge impact on the lives of all these kids and everything, and could even, you know, shut down these gang wars or anything like that. So that wasn't even on my list of anything that I was showing these kids on what they could do. And I told her after she said that, I said, wow, that sounds really powerful. I said, you know what? We're going to try to put that in motion and see what happens. So with the different meditation groups we had with the youth and with the adults, what we ended up doing, we actually ended up doing a visualization where we saw the divine light of God's divine love and Christ's divine love in the hearts and minds of all of these kids that were busy killing each other and in having violent and even verbal, you know, confrontations with each other and wanted to destroy each other's lives. And after we focused on that, it was like, like I said, I fell out my chair, brother. You know, because, you know, what I ended up seeing was that the number of kids that were killing each other, the numbers started going down to the point where it actually shut down to no kids killing each other. And the gang war was over. Because prior to that, we had a program where we had 150 people in our program. And we had people from California, Chicago, Philly. We had people from New Jersey, Harlem, Brooklyn, of course, Mount Vernon, and different places that were coming to the schools and talk to these kids about, you know, how they need to try to do something positive with their life instead of getting caught up into just wanting to sell drugs and be the biggest drug dealer and the biggest gang and, you know, trying to kill as many kids as they could to be able to be the biggest drug dealer and biggest gang, you know, that kind of crazy stuff. And it did have a huge impact on some of them. And one of the other things that had a huge impact, we had 6 or 7 mothers whose kids were killed in the gang wars, and they actually would come and speak in the auditorium in these different schools. And what ended up happening, you know, after they told how devastating and how, you know, destructive it was for them to actually, you know, have lost their sons, you know, and how the family was into all of them finished speaking, they were all crying on the stage, you know. But the good thing about it, when they were all crying on the stage, I looked in the auditorium, and I saw a lot of the students were crying as well. And I said, good. That's good that they finally got the message here, and they need to really see that it's not about being able to brag that you're one of the biggest gang leaders, you know, in Harlem or in Mount Vernon or other areas. The bottom line is you need to stop trying to kill each other, you know, and stop worrying about how much drugs you can sell to make so much money and stuff. But anyway, the bottom line was after those meditations that went down with them visualizing and seeing the divine light of God and the divine light of Christ in the minds and the hearts of these gangbangers, the gang war was over. And a lot of them had, you know, dropped out, you know, considerably. I would say about 50 to 60% of them had dropped out already with us being in all the schools and talking to the kids about coming out and doing something positive instead of negative with their life. But the ended, because there was still, you know, fighting going on and killing going on, what ended up happening when we did the visualization with the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ in their minds and hearts, that's what was the finishing, you know, piece of the puzzle that actually ended up shutting down the gang war. And I was really glad to see that. And one last situation I would like to share was with Baltimore, because after, you know, one of the brothers in Baltimore heard about our program and how we were able to shut down these gang wars. So a brother had came to me from Baltimore and said, wow, we're in the middle of a gang war now, and this stuff is getting crazy, man. I'm wondering if we could do a meditation, because I heard your program is, you know, helping kids, you know, stopping with the gang wars. And I said, yeah, that's not a problem. I said, let's see what we could do on Thursday. He said, okay, I'm glad you said before the weekend, because there was just another retaliation where three kids were being killed in one of the other gangs. And now the other gang, from what I heard, they said they bought about two or three machine guns, and they're going to go visit the other gang and try to kill as many of them as they can. He said, and that's going to happen on this weekend. So I said, really? I said, they're thinking about doing that? He said, yes. He said, so Thursday would be good. If we could get together before the weekend, that would be great. So we got together on Thursday, and when we got together on Thursday, we did just that. There was about 15 New Yorkers that were on the line with us, and five of them came on from their, you know, city as well. And basically what ended up happening, we all got together, and we started doing the visualization, the meditation, and we also did a prayer on that as well. And basically what ended up happening from there, after we saw the divine love of God in Christ in the minds and the hearts of those kids, what ended up happening, because they were supposed to come back and they were supposed to have a big shootout during the weekend. And what ended up happening, instead of the shootout coming about, what ended up happening was the brother, you know, he was supposed to come on the meditation with us because he was the one that asked us to do it. And I asked him, I said, okay, you ready to do a meditation? He said, man, I said, if I close my eyes while I'm driving my cab here, I got a feeling that I won't be able to, you know, drive a cab ever again. I said, yeah, brother, you'll be in your coffin driving a cab at that point. I said, so forget it. I said, but see if you could come back on the call in about a half an hour, because that's all we're going to do. The meditation is just going to be for a half an hour. So anyway, 15 minutes passed, and he said that he dropped off two people, and then he went into the areas where the gangbangers were hanging out in Baltimore. And he said in that particular time span, he said normally, since he was a little kid on up, he said these knuckleheads were always hanging out on these street corners and everything. And he said that when he drove through at that time, you know, that last 15 minutes that he had in his cab, he said he didn't see one kid on any of those street corners. And he said, wow. He said that was blowing his mind. So he went. We finished the meditation. He called back in and he told me, he said, wow, there was nobody hanging out on the street corners there or anything like that. I said, well, that's a good sign, brother. I said, hopefully that means that that negativity might not happen, but we'll see what happens, right? So anyway, on Sunday, at the end of the weekend, he called me and told me that there was no, you know, gang reaction with the other gang that had the guns and all of this, and they were getting ready to go back and retaliate for them killing three of their people. But what ended up happening was I said, wow, that's great. So there was no reaction at all over the weekend? He said, none at all, you know. And then he called me 2 weeks later, and he told me, yeah. He said, things just shut down. There hasn't been no killing over the week or anything. So he said, that meditation worked, brother. I said, great. I'm really glad to hear that, man, really glad to hear that. So we have had a huge impact on being able to really bring some positive energy in ending the gang war. And the thing about it is that we need to really come to a clear understanding of our identity, of who we are. But one of the things that Jesus said in the Bible, and unfortunately I don't see or hear that too tough in the churches today, Jesus said, the things I do, you can do, and even more. And when I heard that, you know, I just like said, wow, that's really powerful. You're saying that because Jesus did some spectacular and wonderful and amazing things, resurrecting the dead, you know, disappearing, reappearing, you know, healing people that had, you know, illnesses, that were blind, that, you know, couldn't hear, you know, they were deaf, you know, all these different things he was able to do. And I said, wow, you know, I said, we could actually do that too. So what ended up happening even with that, I took what he said not as a joke, but I took it as the God's honest truth. And I tried to do some healing, you know, with that as well. And I was able to accomplish quite a bit. So there was, you know, a few people, you know, actually it was two people that were actually blind. And, you know, in calling on the healing light of God in Christ, I was able to utilize the healing power of Christ to go into those people and show them to activate that healing power and see what they could do. And in doing that, what ended up happening, there was a brother that, you know, had lost his vision. He was getting ready to get married to a friend of mine. And she called me and told me, you know, I heard about your healing meditation. Do you think you could actually help this brother? Because he's going blind and I'm supposed to get married to him. But now I'm wondering, do I want to marry a blind person? I said, I hear you. So I said, let's see what we can do. So anyway, what ended up happening, we did the healing meditation for about a half an hour with the brother. And he was a pastor in the church in Tennessee. And anyway, what ended up happening, at the end of the half an hour, his vision came back. And I was like, wow, that's really great, you know. And, you know, they both thanked me and everything. And, you know, that was the end of that. But, you know, there was also just recently, about 3 months ago, I had a brother who was deaf. And, he could hardly hear. You know, you had to, like, be standing right next to him and practically yelling in his ear in order for him to hear you, because he could hardly hear anything. But anyway, in dealing with him, you know, that was the last situation that I had with dealing with someone. Actually, it was my first situation with dealing with someone that was like deaf. But basically, the bottom line, after half an hour dealing with that meditation with him, with the healing power of Christ, again, what ended up happening was that took the deafness away from him, and he was able to hear after that. So these are things that we have the power and ability to do. And Christ even said, ye are all sons and daughters of God. Ye are God beings. But the bottom line is we've been seeing ourselves as, unfortunately, as nigger. You know, and the racist word for nigger is a worthless piece of crap. And we have to come out of that negative mindset and seeing ourselves in the negative, you know, vision of what we are, because this society wants us to see ourselves in that negativity so that we can continue to be in a situation where we can't accomplish much, we can't do much, we got to deal with poverty consciousness and all this other negativity. But once we start to realize that we are not just what they call niggers, but that we are, as Jesus said, we are sons and daughters of God, just as he said he was, we are as well. And we have the power and the ability to do awesome and amazing supernatural things. But the problem is, as long as you see yourself as a nigger, then basically that's what you're going to be to accomplish, little to nothing. But as when you start to actually see yourself as a God being that can do similar things that Christ did, then that's when you can do awesome and amazing and supernatural things as he did as well. And he wasn't joking when he said, the things I do, you can do and even more. You know, because sometimes when I share this with people, they say, what? Are you crazy? You think you could do what Christ could do? Get out of here. You got to be crazy. You can't do that. And that's only because we've been taught for the longest time that we are incapable of doing anything as God being and as sons and daughters of God. And even though Jesus said that, they think that Jesus must have drank too much alcohol, or maybe he sniffed some coke that day or something crazy like that, because they just can't conceive that we could ever have that kind of power. But he was speaking the God's honest truth.
Wow, wow, interesting. So you, in your meditation, you actually have people go into meditation and visualization. So they're seeing themselves, they're seeing things in a different light during the process of the meditation. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And dealing with it from, again, the wordage of Christ and what he shared with me. Like I said, I'll be honest with you. I would have never, ever really conceived that you could ever utilize, you know, the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ to actually, you know, turn the minds of people who are caught up in the devil's mindset of wanting to kill and destroy their people to stop doing that. I never knew that you could go that way through spirituality. But Jesus shared that message with me, and when he shared that with me, that's when I saw awesome and amazing things happening in the lives of our
Amen.
Youth and also in adults.
Great, great, great. So we're going to open up 646-972, Brother Shalik. So good to have you on as well. And as we have
Thank
a conversation
you.
Here, transforming our brothers and sisters into positive situations, you know, you can chime in as well.
Thank you for having me. Right now I'm kind of like eating, but
okay.
I'm enjoying
All
the
right.
conversation.
All right, so...
Well, yeah, I'm just wanted to say that's some it's unique and profound. I mean, I one thing I can say is that if you have people that have like minds, and they share that belief, it's the energy that they also share, and it goes with everything, negative or positive. So that universal mind principle, that light. And that light is energy. That light is also life. And so what happens is that I agree to a large degree of the concepts that you're sharing because it's real. We radiate a certain type of energy, and we have the ability and the power to radiate that energy across to others and have effect, cause and effect. So, one thing I can say, and then you think about the brain, how it operates, right? It operates off of electrical impulse. So, all throughout our bodies, man, there's electrical currents going through our bodies. And so all I'm just saying is to make a long story short is that when you have like minds that connect and the belief is strong and the sincerity is there and it's from the heart, there's nothing that can't be done. There's nothing that can't be done. I mean, you look at the pyramids, and that was the mind state of individuals who had a concept and an image and they imagined, and that imagination brought to the manifestation of what you see. So thank you very much for sharing that. And it's very, very positive and it's very, very real. So thank you for sharing
great,
that.
Great, 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 great. Okay, we're gonna give everybody I guess we got a minute left here. Brother Amir, Auto Price, you wanna chime in with some thoughts? Okay, he's probably listening
again,
in.
Again, I think yes, I'm here. I had to unmute my phone. But thank you again for the invite, and thank you again for the rich word of encouragement that once I'm learning to love myself in my current state, any affliction that I might face, whether it be physical, spiritual, financial, whatever the lack may be, because of the love, that power can regenerate and correct any deficiency that I have or any deficiency that I'm working with. Not just me personally, but me as a man of pure essence and color. So I thank you for this very gracious conversation. It definitely gives me a power and an authority to start looking at the potential and possibility of my Christ-like consciousness. So you men of valor, I appreciate you tremendously. Thank you so much for being here and sharing this platform, allowing us to come together and bring others as we go forward. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Brother Amir. It's always good to hear you. You're my brother. We've been together for a long time in different situations, and it's always great to hear your voice, and your comments is always clear and to the point. Do not be a stranger. We're here 7 days a week, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 347-857-1311. Give us a call in all the time. Good to have you, brother.
It was my joy to be here. Thank you very much.
Brother Ronald A., you want to give a few seconds of some thought?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. My brother, thank you, because what you have been sharing all the times that you've been teaching and reaching out, you couldn't do what happened without love. That's, you have a true deliverance ministry. There, without love, you can't accomplish those things. You know, and Psalms, I think it was Psalms 82, and correct me if I'm wrong, said, didn't I say you were gods and sons of the Most High? And then he goes on to say, well, why are you acting less than you are? You know, and this is what we've been into, acting less than we are. He said we were gods and sons of the Most High. We were Christ, his anointed. You know, so we should, it shouldn't be surprising if we know that we can do all things through the anointing. And the anointing of love is the most perfect anointing. And I bless you. Love you, brother.
Okay. Thank you so much, brother. Ronald A., always good to have you on, and always good to have your comments as well. Dr. James W. Wimborne, you got the final word before we have to step out.
Oh, man. Well, you know, listen, we talked a lot tonight about emotion, men in motion. We didn't know the conversation was going to go that way, but it did. And I think it was very informative. We got a lot of information, and it's something we need to do again. We need to discuss these things, and we need to become masters of these things. Myself as well. I'm still learning. I'm still, you know, training myself what to say, what not to say, how to put it out there, what not to say, and things of that nature, and just kind of relax with it and just kind of see what's going on. You know, most of the times I will say this as far as affirmations is concerned and vibrations and what we think. People ask me all the time how I'm feeling. Most of the time, if you ask me that, I'm going to say that I am blessed and highly favored because I believe that. And I believe it, so I keep saying it and keep saying it and keep putting it out there, keep putting it out there, only because those are the things that I want to take place in my environment. And if you believe it, okay, if you say under yonder's mountain and believe in your heart and send out doubt to be downcast in the sea, it shall be. But it's based on your belief. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, the crazy part about that is that you can have all the faith that you want, but if you don't go out and do something, you got to make something happen. Okay? And so you are engaged in that. And why do you have to make something happen? Because you're the co-creator. So just think about that. First, what you have to do is you have to think it, okay? You have to have faith, and then you have to go out and make it happen. So you're doing the creating, and you've been doing the creating the whole time. And you've been doing it based off of your emotions and how you feel and those chemicals. So now just let's, you know, learn to control them. We're going to be doing part two of this seminar. I think it's on, I think it's July the 31st or something like that. We'll post it. We're going to have, I'm going to be one of the teachers. I moderated the last time, but I'm teaching in part two, so we want everybody to come and be a part of that. Yeah. Back to you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And we want y'all to come back tomorrow with Coach Morale with Life Leadership. She talks about these same subject matters, and she's having intense research and evidence of things that we can do. I want y'all to come back on Thursday, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday. Again, same time, same place. God bless everybody. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, brothers, for showing me some love.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
Your life has been out of control.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry, your soul. It will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
'Cause God
is in control,
y'all.
Heart.
Heart.
After you've done all you can. After you've gone through the hell. After you've gone through the pain. Oh my. After you've gone through the storm. Hallelujah.
But here I stand. Love. On solid ground, but Now we're both ready, ready for the real thing, cause our dues have all been paid. We finally got it made. Believe me when I tell you there's no need to be afraid, cause we're going all the way. We're headed for forever, and that's where we're gonna stay. The more you hear me, the more I know it. We got it all here, we just don't belong it. We're going all the way. If the two of us don't want it, I see my money on it starting to change. Together through whatever comes, I know we got the staying power. We're gonna make tomorrow ours if we just stick with it and give it all we got to give. We're going all the way. If the
but not in this.